Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gammon's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Lafayette Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wines.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, bus people. The bus people with us tonight again. As always, thanks a lot, bus people. Mike's not with us tonight, though. We've got, we're doing the show without Mike tonight. Oh, what was that little burp? We're doing the show without Mike tonight. He's on another vacation. Mike gets so many vacations, I am rather envious. But he's gone again on another vacation. I'm not sure where he is this time. When he gets back, I'm sure he'll tell us. Next week, I'm not going to be on the show. I don't know if Mike's going to be doing a program or if he's going to play a past best of or what he's planning on doing, but next week I have an event through the winery that I am going to be attending, so I will be tied up next evening, and I will not be available for the program. So you can tune in anyway. There may be a best of, there may be nothing. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do, but check us out anyway and see what's going to be coming on. We are first day of spring. Yay. Happy first day of spring, everybody. For those of you who are still up in the frozen tundra areas of the country, it is still first day of spring. You might notice it by looking out the window or stepping outside, but it's here. So we're going to moving on into the hot days. And before long, before we know it, we will all be complaining about how bloody hot it is and how we can't stand it. And we wish it were cooler. And we'll have to remind ourselves of the winter that just passed. So, it happens. We can't be satisfied, can we? Nothing new as far as anything that's important to tell you right now. I've got a few things to pass on to you, but we have a guest tonight, so we don't have time to go into all the odds and ends of what's going on in the wine industry. We do have time to talk to a guest. So since Mike isn't with us tonight, and since I'm the one that's going to have to call him up and dial him in, I'm going to have to excuse myself for a second here and go get him. The Music you hear in the background is nothing but entertainment while I go call our guests. So I will be back very shortly here.
Hello.
Thanks for listening. You lost me for a while there, I think, because Mike usually is the one that gets hold of the guests, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So I think you might have lost me. And if you did, sorry. And if you didn't, thanks for hanging in there. We have
that's no problem. No, I did lose you for a second, but it's no big deal. You got it right.
Yeah. We're good now. We're on the air. This is our guest tonight is Chase Martin. He is the winemaker and a partner for Island Grove Wine Company. Which is located here in Florida. And I little background on Island Grove for the purpose of how I found you. I had to make a trip up to Central Florida, I guess a couple of weeks ago, Monday. And as I was coming back, I saw the sign on the side of the road that says Island Grove Wine Company. And so I turned down the road and went over railroad tracks and found this dirt road, and there was a little bitty sign that says Island Grove, and I traveled down this other dirt road for like 5 miles, and then the road split, and it said go to the right, and I traveled for another 3 or 4 miles, and then another sign said Island Grove, and I turned, and there in front of me was this enormous plantation of fruits and everything, and I go, wow, and that's where I found you, and it's a great find for all of you people out there. We'll have Chase give you all the information before we get off the air, but great find. So I went inside. I talked to him. Chase agreed to be on with me tonight. Sharon was another one. Sharon, right?
No, it's actually Sarah Ashelman.
Sarah. I keep on wanting to say Sharon.
Sarah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. No problem.
Sarah Axelman is a woman. Come out and she introduced herself. She's All about person there, and Chase is the winemaker. So he introduced me, gave me a great tour of the place. We had a nice talk, and I said, I'd love to have you on the program. Last week we had illnesses, no one can make it, but we are on this week. Thank you very much, Chase, for joining us on the program.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. And a lot of people are surprised when they get to the end of that dirt road and see that we're all the way out there. It seems really long, but it's actually about 4 miles from 301, but it is on dirt roads. And it's about 4 miles, but you got to follow the signs. And it seems, when you don't know where you're going, it seems like you're going forever. And it is kind of surprising that we're all the way out there, but that's just kind of the way where the farm ended up. And we'll be building a retail store right on 301 to catch people on their way into the winery where they can do tastings there. And then we'll get them into the winery somehow, maybe with a map or something, and they can do the tours. That should happen towards the end of this year.
Well, that's great. It's a beautiful place out there. You have a great tasting room and all that, and it's a beautiful place out there. But you say only about 4 miles. It seemed like I went forever.
I know. Tell me about it. I drive it every day. Boy, with all this rain we've had, they've been grading it just about every day. I mean, we actually grade the road that. They're county roads, but they get so bad that we have to grade them ourselves. And they've been working on them for a couple of days. They finally got them straight after all that rain we had.
Oh, that I can imagine, too, because those are dirt roads. They were well kept when I went out there, but there wasn't rains around. So I can imagine what would happen on that. People are always coming to Florida State's winery, and they're saying, boy, you guys are really out in the middle of nowhere. And I go, let me tell you about Allen Grove Wine Company.
Yeah.
Now I've got something to point to.
That's right. Look at those guys.
And look at those guys. They are really out there. Well, let's start with, tell us about Allen Grove Wine Company. What's the little background of it? How it started?
We started making wine on that property there in Hawthorne in early 2010. We started with just 6 wines, the two main blueberry ones, which are 100% blueberry, kind of dry and sort of sweet. And then we had a strawberry, an apple, a blackberry, and a raspberry. And then we went on to a whole bunch of wines. I think we've got close to 13 now. But we've done pretty good. We hit the market, I think, early 2011. And we're in about 400 stores now. We've got 75 sweet bays. We've got the total wines. We also are in a lot of the health food stores in the area in Florida because of the antioxidant capacity of the blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
We've done pretty decent. I mean, you could tell driving down that dirt road that we haven't done a lot of retail out of that tasting room. But the wholesale, our stores, we do it's a lot of tastings. We go around and pour. Like we just got, I think there's 10 Sam's Clubs now, which is a great thing for Island Grove. A lot of people that I'm running into that are coming out saying we saw you guys in Sam's Club. It's like an advertisement to be in there. Great place to buy wine.
And you do tastings at Sam's Clubs too, quite often.
Yes.
I noticed.
Yes, we do. We're pushing it really hard because of our location. I don't think we've got the recognition that. We thought we were going to get. So it's taken a little while. So we are marketing. We're marketing hard. We do the Blueberry Festival in Brooksville for the last, I think this will be our third year. And we're the only wine that's served in there. And sometimes, I think the first year there was about 30,000 people there. Last year, close to 30,000. This year it's on April 12th and April 13th. A Saturday and Sunday, and there should be a good turnout. We've got a cabin that we bring called the Mobile Tasting Unit. It's actually built after a 100-year-old house that is on the Island Grove property. Beautifully set. Yeah, I mean, eventually they'd like to do weddings and kind of some parties and stuff like that down there. It's just gorgeous. The working partner, the big boss, Ken Patterson, has done a really good job in clearing that whole area except for the big live oaks. They built a pond back there. They just have, you know, they moved that old house to the property. But anyways, they decided to build this little cabin that you pull onto a trailer, and we yank it around the state of Florida to these shows. And you park, you unload the trailer like a gigantic green dumpster. That big house is kind of, it rocks off the trailer. There's an awning that pulls up. There's a wooden electric deck that folds down out of the inside, and it's a mobile bar. There's windows that open up on it, and it looks like a miniature house that was built there. I mean, that's
wow.
The kind of stuff that we're doing to market, to kind of get the word out of who we are. And we can do 20,000 to 30,000 tastings out of that MTU in a couple days at some of these shows.
Wow.
So it's, you know, we've got the product. We all believe in the product. And it's just about getting the word out. And the best way to do that, from what I've learned, you know, making wine in Florida over 12 years, is to pour the wines. It seems to work the best, you know.
Yes.
People see some of these wines and they pick them up and they look at them, and I know they wanna jump on board, but they just don't trust it. But when they taste, I mean, some people do, but when they taste it, they know what they're getting, and we do a lot better when people can try the product. So.
And that's it. That goes with any winery. I mean, us too. I mean, people come in and they go, Florida wines? And, you know, and you say, yeah, I'll give it a try. And once that happens, they are convinced. It's just a matter of letting them know what we have in Florida. And we do have a lot of great wines in Florida.
Yes, we do. Yep. And it's growing too. I don't know
how
many wineries there are total, but they're popping up everywhere, it seems like.
37, 38 last I heard, and there's probably more now. You know, that was the last number I heard was right before Christmas. So I think there's some more that's open this year already.
Yep, they're everywhere now. Wine's a good thing. Yeah, I enjoy it out at Island Grove. It's kind of a dream come true for me. I moved to Florida 12 years ago to make wine, and now we have, you know, 350. We have a winery built on 200 acres. 90 of them are organic, certified organic.
Oh.
I believe it's the largest organic blueberry farm in Florida.
Wow.
So potentially we could be doing organic, certified organic wines. They're just very tough. But
yes,
Island Grove, we are working on so many different things. You know about the organic fruit wines?
Yes.
They're difficult. Yeah. No sulfites.
Very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the way through the steps that needs to be taken and all that other stuff, you know, from growing to bottling to everything. It's just amazing.
Yep.
I have to back up and ask you one thing here. You
okay.
mentioned I moved to Florida 12 years ago to make wine. Why?
Yes.
Why would you move to Florida to make wine?
That's a good question. Well, I'm from Burlington, Vermont, and about, I'd say 15 years ago now, a friend of mine who owned a small blueberry farm said that they hired a winemaker to make some of their blueberries into wine. And I wasn't really a drinker. I didn't, you know, I was young, but I still didn't drink a lot. I wasn't into wine at that point. But the idea of blueberry wine sounded really interesting to me. And I managed to get myself into the winery and work with them for some time. And I kind of caught the wine bug. And I worked on a vineyard on Shelburne Farms in Shelburne, Vermont, one summer. And I decided that I wanted to make that my career. So I started looking on the internet and found that there was a booming blueberry business in Florida, that it was growing, that they were creating a blueberry industry. And at the time, I believe there was 1,600 acres, and there was 80 acres in the whole state of Vermont. So I decided, I used to go to Florida every year from Vermont with my family, and I remember lots of fruits and vegetables, and I wanted to go somewhere where I could make fruit wine. In Florida seemed like the perfect place, and I thought that the wine would eventually Florida would catch on and start building wineries, and that's why I moved here. Yeah.
And then you got a job with Gill & Curley, right?
Actually, I started my own winery in Largo under Chase Patrick Incorporated, and I bottled under Patrick Avery. and it was just my winery, mine and my ex-wife's winery, actually, our personal winery. I learned a lot there. Then I did join forces with Joe Keel, and he wasn't making wine at the time. We started together, and about 6 years later, I wanted to kind of move on and make wine other places, and so eventually I left there, and I had drove up to Island Grove to buy blueberry culls 10 years ago for Keel and Curley. So I knew Ken Patterson, and I knew Island Grove, and I knew they had lots of fruit. So I got together with Ken Patterson, and they said, yes, we've got a couple hundred thousand pounds of blueberries that are, you know, of good quality but can't go to the fresh market, and we're looking for something to do with them. So I moved north. They gave me a place on the farm, and we started to build Island Grove Wine Company and develop the first six wines. So that's kind of how it happened. Yeah.
Let me take a second here to fill in our listeners on that. Keel and Curley is another winery here in Florida. It's around the Tampa Bay area. If you want, check that out. It's K-E-E-L Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y. So Keel and Curley is another one. Not to give them a plug or anything, but you know, we have listeners all over the country, and just let y'all, you know, keep people informed of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, they do. We made some good wines there, but there's a lot of potential up here at Island Grove. They have a large operation. The organics really attracted me. You know, I've always been into the blueberry antioxidants, and thought that the blueberry wine someday could be considered, you know, more healthy. And it's with the organic that would definitely be true if we could eventually figure out how to do the organic wine. So that was a big attraction for me. And they just do things right at Island Grove. It's an excellent company, and I can't say enough good things about it. We're growing fast. We're here to stay.
How many acres in blueberries and strawberries and everything else do you have there?
Well, we have, in Hawthorne here, we have 200 acres of blueberries.
Wow.
90 of them are organic. And then we have 10 or 12 acres of certified organic blackberries.
Wow.
So we've always had a blackberry wine that's mixed with Merlot, but we're actually making some dry blackberry wines now. We haven't released anything yet, but...
Yeah, no, I had a chance to taste it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did taste it. Yeah. So
it's 12, very good.
12 acres there. Yeah. And then they have a whole other farm down in Arcadia where they have, I believe, about 150 more acres of blueberries.
Wow.
So in total, they've got about 350. And they, you know, we have a large packing facility right on the property where we pack clam shells and ship them to Dole, where they're Dole growers. So... that's where we get the excess. We get them they don't go shipped all over the place. They go right from the field into the packing house, and they go, the imperfect ones are pulled out, and they go right in the freezer as fast as we can get them there so that we can pull them out as fresh as as fresh as possible and make them into wine. So it works out great that there's a packing facility right on the property. During our harvest, we pack all our fruit in the freezer, and then we can pull it out and make wine year-round.
Wow. Tell us about the facility. Stainless steel, oak, what are you using? I know, I saw it, but I just, you got to tell
it. Well, we use stainless steel. We do use a little bit of oak inside the wines. I've never used oak barrels. They're expensive. They're fancy. Yeah. You know, we may play with them in the future, but right now we just have, we've got six 1,000 gallon tanks. We've got two 1,300-gallon tanks, all stainless, and we've got four 5,000-gallon tanks. We've got some really nice equipment out there. All our fermenters are climate-controlled. The new winery that was built September of 2011 is 9,600 square feet. So it's a good-size winery. The roof's 20-some-odd feet tall to fit those big tanks in there. But we've got everything we need, you know, nice pumps. We've got a big press, a beautiful micro-block bottling line. We got some really nice stuff, and it makes things easier.
I had a chance, when I mentioned at the beginning that I had a chance to visit them, and Chase took me on a little quick tour out there to the tanks and all that. The beautiful facility, absolutely gorgeous facility. I am so jealous of their monoblock, their packing, or their bottling block. That is just a beautiful piece of equipment. And
yes.
I mean, you can crank out a lot of wines on that. And with the size of those tanks, you have to crank out a lot of wine. I mean, it just
well,
comes time for bottling.
Potentially, we can. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say that size of the tanks and the number of bottling, I'm sure it's a very labor-intensive few days to get that stuff done.
Yeah, when we're bottling, it gets a little bit crazy in there, but the machine makes it a lot easier than doing it by hand. and potentially, we could make a lot of wine in that facility. We can't sell enough yet. You know, we're marketing hard because the equipment we have could actually make a lot more than we are right now. But, you know, you want to grow slow. We don't want to make a ton of wine that we can't sell and have it sit there. I mean, the blueberry will get better over time, but we're really starting to learn how much we need to make, and you really regulate our growth and make sure we cover all our bases. But things are growing. So we should, right now, with the equipment we have, we could do about 500,000 bottles a year out of
wow.
that facility. Yeah. Yeah, the blueberry takes about 90 to 120 days. So if we do it right, we could do almost four different batches in a year. And if we fill that whole place up, then go ahead.
Yeah, well, once you have the fresh berries and you throw them in the freezers, and, you know, I mean, it's a matter of a constant turnover, and I can see that very easily.
Yeah, it's a good system we got going.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. You've mentioned your blueberry wines. Let's talk about your wines here.
Okay.
Let's go through each one of them. You know, your kind of dry blueberry wine. A little bit about that.
It's 100% blueberry. It's nice, medium body. I consider it fruit forward, so you get a little bit of fruitiness and a little sweetness in the beginning, nice middle, and then you get the nice dryness at the end. And that's why we call it kind of dry. But it's a good, I drink it with dinner. It's the driest wine that we have out right now. And we've done really well. We've won a couple gold medals at Indy the last couple of years with it. We've done pretty good at the Florida State Fair. So it's a nice wine to have with dinner.
I had a chance to try all these too, and I will insert a few comments at the end of the descriptions if you don't mind. But I had the kind of dry. It is very good. It comes through. You can taste the blueberry, but it's not a blueberry. It's more of a
right.
jammy blueberry, and it comes out
right.
and it gives sort of the nose gives a hint of a Merlot, I think, and the it was very pleasant. I really enjoyed it. It was a nice. I can see having that with dinner just about every type of meal you have, because it's very versatile on that. So
yeah, it's broad. We get that a lot, people saying it resembles a Merlot. You know, when people come up, I ask some people, what do you drink? A lot of times they say Merlot. Out of the 13 wines we're making, I would say go for the kind of dry.
Well,
thank you.
It's
for
very
that.
Good. I had a chance to taste them up there, and I enjoyed the tasting of all of them. So, like I say,
sure.
I'll add little notes at the end here. Your sweet blueberry wine.
Right. Again, that's one of the 100% blueberry wines that we make. There's no grapes blended in there. It's sort of sweet. It's a sweet wine, but it doesn't have that cloyy taste where all you taste is sugar and the acids seem low. It's got a nice pop to it. It is a sweet wine, but it's not overly sweet. That's why we call it sort of sweet. It's our number one seller, and it's just a good, easy drinking, fruity, nice wine, I think. What do you think?
And I enjoyed it too. The sweetness, though, you know, you say a sweet blueberry wine, you expect something like popping a blueberry in your mouth, although it's not like that. It's
right. Right.
Not quite like a popular blueberry. It's sort of sweet is probably the best way to describe it. It's got some good blueberry flavors and good blueberry taste, but it's not...
It comes across, you can taste the blueberries, but it's not that, I don't want to say artificial blueberry, but, people have these ideas of what fruits taste like, and not everybody knows blueberries. Some people come in and they expect this real big lollipop taste. And the blueberry Moscato, that's why we did a blueberry Moscato, that's got more of that blueberry... I don't know how to describe
sweetness.
But it pops more.
It.
Yeah, it pops more like a blueberry. I would consider the sort of sweet to be more winey, if that makes sense. The Moscato's really a sweet, sweet, fruity wine. It's not as, I don't want to say not as elegant, but the sort of sweet's got more body to it, and it's more winey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's a good description. It's not really – well, since you're talking about the blueberry Moscato, go ahead and describe the rest of that while we're on it.
Well, that is Muscat from California, and we ferment that down. We actually have to stop the fermentation at a certain sweetness. That's what they do. Then we go ahead and blend 10% of our sort of sweet blueberry into that Moscato. And it really comes through fruity. Actually, last year, right when we bottled that, we went to the Florida Blueberry Festival. We bottled 45 cases, and we sold all 45 cases in 2 days. It was a hit. Moscato's really hot right now.
It is. Moscato is the wine du jour. I mean, without question. And that's what we're drinking right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my wife, my engineer, I call her, refer to her as engineer, but my wife said we need to have one of their wines with the program. So we opened up the Blueberry Moscato, and that's what we are enjoying during the program.
Well, why don't you tell me what you think about it?
I like it. It's not Moscato. But it's sweet. You get that underlying sweetness. The blueberry isn't overpowering. I mean, it's there, and it sways the taste away from just that straight Moscato. And the Muscat grape is good. I mean, it comes in all sorts of styles and everything. And like I said, and you said, it's this the grape of choice now. It seems. I'm sorry. Yeah, my engineer, my wife, said, very pleasantly surprised. She hadn't had it before. We were saving it, and she said, very pleasantly surprised in what she just tasted there. It's not the Moscato. You're not opening a bottle of Moscato. You're not opening a bottle of blueberry, but the combination gives you the best of both, almost, and the fact that it's not it's fresh, sweet but not clingy, Moscato sweet, and but very, very pleasant, very light, and fruity, and really quite delicious.
Yeah, it's a poolside drink, and we did stop the alcohol at about 8%. And some of the Moscatos that are coming over from Italy, I see and I taste, they're 5.5% alcohol. So it's all, they leave all that residual, and there is a residual in our Moscato, but I wanted it to be a little bit less sweet, and then when we go ahead and blend that sort of sweet in, it pulls it down a little bit more. So yeah, it's a nice sweetness. I've only had a few people say, I want it sweeter, but there's, like you said, there's a lot of different versions out there, but we've been really pleased with that one so far.
And the color of this is a nice rosé color. I mean, it's not a white Zin, a rosé type color to it. It's not blue. It's not that you don't lean toward the blueberry color. Just a hint of pink, which is very nice.
Yeah, like a pink Moscato.
Yes, it's exactly. We're talking about fruit wines. Let's go on and talk about the rest of your fruit wines. How about the Southern Strawberry?
Okay, that is a strawberry blended with Riesling. And it's a nice wine. It's one of our sweeter wines, but people enjoy that wine a lot. You know, we get a lot of people that are actually surprised at how good it is. But yeah, that's a nice blend. Riesling goes really well with strawberry, I think.
Yeah, and the Riesling it's not a dry Riesling. It's not really a real sweet Riesling. The strawberry comes through as almost as a fresh picked strawberry, but not quite as pronounced.
Right.
Very nice combination there. It's a very good combination with the strawberries and that Riesling. I enjoyed that quite a bit, too. I think I have one of those that I picked up also.
I think you did get that one.
Yeah, the Bold Blackberry.
The Bold Blackberry. Well, that's a Merlot and blended with the blackberry. That's a sweeter wine. I enjoy it room temperature, but it can be drank cold also. But that's been a really good one for us. It's the smell on that, the nose on that is really pops. I mean, people can smell that when they're behind you. It really comes through as a big blackberry taste. What do you think?
And I agree. That's one of the things about the Bold Blackberry is that the aroma. Mind you of after you've just picked a few blackberries and you get that smell because some of them crunch in your fingers and you get that aroma just jumps up at you. And that's where I got out glass of this when I tasted it. You have Merlot, you blend it with Merlot, and I was expecting more Merlot, but the blackberry balances very well with it. It's just, you know, the blackberries are a good fruit. I've always been a blackberry fan, so I'm a little biased toward in there anyway. And it really is a very nice balance with the blackberries and the Merlot on that. But the aroma the aroma is great. It really is quite great on that.
Thanks.
Crisp green apple. I enjoyed this one. I enjoyed this combination here on this one a lot. German wines, whenever I have a German wine, I can tell you immediately that it's a German wine because I always get this green apple aroma and taste to it.
Right.
And this reminded me a lot of a German wine.
Yes, the Gewürztraminer. You got it. It is German. I believe that was from Germany. I think it's a little tiny pink grape.
Yes, it is.
That's what's blended with the green apple. And that is an easy drinking wine. We do have a lot of people that enjoy that. And it's a sweet wine, but it's funny. You know, we have a lot of sweet wines, and we're trying to have some more of these fruit wines that are drier. They're not easy to make, but we're working on it. But the apple the crisp green apple is one of those wines that when people say, you know, I don't like sweet wines, can you pour me something dry? If they're going to try anything, I encourage them to try it. The green apple is one, a lot of times that the dry wine drinkers seem to like, even though it's got some sweetness to it. But it is a nice day drinking wine, easy, easy drinking wine. And it's got that nice, the Gewürztraminer comes through with that nice little green apple. And I enjoy that wine a lot.
Yeah, I did too. That, and the Gewürz mixed with it too. Gewürz all seem to have that little spicy, almost green apple flavors to them anyway. And this combination really blends well.
It does work nice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's very nice. And, you know, and I want to point out, too, all these wines tend to be right around 11% alcohol. So they're not really, they're not high in alcohol, but they're really not that low in alcohol considering that, you know, the fruit is, or the sweetness has been out of them. You've brought that alcohol up a little bit, so.
You don't want to set it too high because if you let the sweetness overpower or the alcohol overpower the fruit, so, and I think normally most fruit wines are, you know, best around 10 or 11, I think. If you set that apple at 12, I'm not sure that you won't, you know, take away from some of the wine and taste that alcohol more.
Yeah, and you have a good point there. I have an orange and a key lime, which is they're blends, major blends, with Florida grapes, and both of mine are sitting right at 12. But because it's so little amount of fruits, I don't know, 20% or less of fruits in each of them, and so the alcohol level is retained in the wine itself. But I can understand what you're saying. You start bringing up, you know, 12. I have done some blendings and all that, which I didn't like. I've toned them down because the alcohol really does start coming out too much.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Rustic raspberry.
Okay. That's a white Zinfandel blend with raspberries, and that one's also got a really good nose to it.
Yeah.
That one pops. You know, people that like that one really enjoy it. It's a sweet wine. There's people that really, really enjoy particularly that one. People come in and say, I want the raspberry. So, yeah, it's decent. It's a good wine. What do you think?
And the raspberry, you know, does come out quite well with it. White Zins have such a ugly redhead stepsister reputation. Oh, my mom drinks White Zin. My sister likes a White Zin. But this combination with the raspberry really does make a pop. I mean, you had the best description there. The nose is great on that. The Zinfandel, the White Zin, is basically just something to carry the raspberry to your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
you
know, the raspberry.
Yeah, that's a good
really
way to put it. Yeah.
You know,
it's
so
hiding in there. The raspberry. It's hard to taste the Zin. You're right.
It is. It is. It's hard to taste it. Like I say, the Zin is just there to help put the raspberry in your mouth, and you do. You get it in the nose and the mouth, and the initial taste, it just jumps right down at you. Pops. That's the best word for it there. So, and then your back porch peach.
Yep. The peach is, it's a Chardonnay with peaches. That one's I would say that's more like a semi-sweet. We wanted something that was a little drier. We wanted to taste a little bit of the Chardonnay at the end, but the peach has got some serious peach to it. Even though it's not real sweet, you smell the peach, you taste the peach. It comes through right in the beginning, very fruit forward, and then you taste a little nice little taste of dry at the very end. But I would still consider it a sort of sweet or an off sweet wine.
Off sweet, yeah, that's a better term. You think Chardonnay dry, and the peach gives it that little kick, kick to the nose, that little kick to the initial taste, but then the peach sort of fades away, and then it ends with that dry Chardonnay finish.
Yeah, nice and cold. That's a good wine. The ladies really seem to enjoy it, and it's just light. It comes through light.
Yeah, it does. And it's a beautiful color, too. It really is.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was poured in my glass while I was there, and I go, oh, wow, look at that. It's just, it really is. It's just a beautiful color on that.
Thank you.
And you also have some that are not on your list. You have some that you are seasonal wines.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about those.
We have the Holiday Pomegranate, which is that's also a white Zinfandel, and that one is just for sale at the winery. Actually, I think we just put that into distribution, or we're getting ready to put that into distribution. That's how it started. It started as just a very small batch, you know, 1,000 bottles or so, just to see if our customers like it. And I believe, you know, we got some really good results, so we actually made a big tank of, I think, about 4,000 bottles. And I think they're actually putting it in some of the stores. So that was one that we made. We started off just as a specialty item, and it's gone into the stores also. Then we have a 100% cranberry that we just did. And it's not a real sweet. It's actually got that little cranberry pop at the end, that little bite. But it's 100% fruit. There's no grapes blended in. That one's just cranberry. And that one's only for sale at the winery.
That cranberry is very good, too. And I had a chance to taste that. That is very good. The cranberry gives you a cranberry flavor. I mean, it really,
Yeah. It's
very
exactly
good.
What it's supposed to be. It tastes like cranberry.
It does. It really does taste like cranberry. You didn't lose anything as you were fermenting that and doing that. That held up really well on that. You are also, and you know, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit here, and you shared some taste with me. You're also working on a port.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're doing a bunch of different stuff. I'm always playing with something. But, yeah, we're doing a blueberry port. We did one little batch, and it came out pretty good, so we tried a couple little more now, and they're probably going to be bottled within a few months, and the whole team will taste it, and we'll decide whether we're going to move forward or keep working on it. We actually blended some brandy with some of our blueberry wine and put it in an oak barrel, and it came out pretty good. I think the blueberry works well as a port.
I think it did, too. In fact, Chase was testing a sweeter style and a drier style of it, and he shared the taste with each, which, you know, again, thank you. But they very good. I tend toward the little bit sweeter style. I think it was very nice because it brought out the blueberry a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, those take time. I don't know how long it's going to take. Those little barrels we got should impart some flavor pretty quick because they're not, you know, huge 60-gallon ones. But, you know, that one's going to take some time. We're also working on, like I said, 100% blackberry. That's pretty darn dry for a fruit wine.
But, you know, there's the market out there for the dry wine. So there's, you know, should be not a problem with finding people that enjoy that.
Yeah. And then we're going to take our kind of dry style wine and our blackberry dry and blend them together to make some type of black and blue, you know, a mix, a blend, and bottle that also. So we'll have a couple different styles of dry fruit wines in there.
That's good. That's good because it appeals to everyone that way. You know, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, then we've got something for everybody. We're also coming out with 100% mango.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All these fruits you mentioned, is every one of them sourced right there on the ranch, or is it?
No. We've got to ship in a bunch of them, and it depends what season. We've got distributors that get us fruits year round. It makes it difficult if you don't source it through some type of distributor, because you know, when we want to make mango, we need mangoes, and you know, if you don't have somebody that can guarantee you some type of mango, you're in trouble. So, I wish we could grow everything there. I wish.
It's a big facility anyway. The Merlots and the Gewurztraminer and all these that you're getting in, those coming out of California. New York, California?
Yep.
There you go. All right. Yep. Very good.
Yeah,
very
I wish
good.
We could do something about the grape growing problem in Florida. You know.
Yeah. They're working on it.
Yeah, they're working on it. But boy, wouldn't that be nice if someday we could grow Merlots down here.
Yeah, but it's going to end up being too hot. We'll never be able to anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Oh, well, what can we say?
Yeah.
Not in my lifetime. Maybe in yours when you're an old man, but not in my lifetime.
Right, right. Well, I love doing the fruits. You know, it's not easy. You know, some of the fruit wines have a bad rap. But I think if you make them and you balance them right, they can be surprisingly good. You know, and I think we surprise a lot of people with some of our fruit wines. I enjoy that part of this.
Island Grove Wine Company surprised me. I did not expect to see what I saw when I pulled back there. And I was really, really amazed at the facility, at the grounds and all that stuff. Sad thing is when you get the new facility or new tasting room up on 301, people are going to miss the opportunity to see that, and you really should encourage that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have tours still. I mean, that's what people want to see. They want to come in and taste the wines. They want to hear how they're made, and they want to see how they're made. We're never going to take that away. I know that road is not the best, but it's an experience, isn't it? You know, a lot of people get that wow feeling. They get a little frustrated with the road. They're really not sure if they're in the right place. And then all of a sudden it opens up and to see all those blueberry plants lined up like that. The farm is just beautiful. And then when you see the winery and taste the wine, it's an experience. But, yeah, when we build that retail store on 301, we'll definitely have some type of map or something. I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but we're definitely going to get people into that winery.
You know, I'd have yourself a little little bus that shuttles people back to it and then brings them back.
Yeah. And you never know. You never know what we'll come up with, but I can guarantee you there'll be people back there touring for sure.
It's just too beautiful
not to show that.
It is. It's just a gorgeous. And like I said, when I pulled around the second, that third, fourth bend, 100 miles back in there, all of a sudden, I saw the big fields and everything, and I was really impressed. Big iron gate and all that. That was really a beautiful sight.
It is a nice place. Very quiet at night, and it's out there, but it's a nice place. I actually lived on the farm for a few years.
Uh-huh.
On Friday night, I moved up from Tampa up to Citra, up to Hawthorne, right on the farm. And on Friday nights, I didn't know whether to celebrate or cry because it was so quiet, so beautiful all at the same time. And, I love to make wine, and it was nice to kind of be away from everybody and be able to work till 1 o'clock at night if I wanted to. And just I put kind of everything I had into the first six wines and got things going. But, to live right on the farm like that, it was a really enjoyable experience.
It is a beautiful place there. It really is. I was quite amazed when I saw it. Tell us all about contact information and wine club contacts for wine club, how to get in touch with people, everything. So all of our listeners out there would have an opportunity if they're in the area or if they want to contact you or anything. Websites, phone numbers, Twitter, Facebook, everything. Give us all the rundown.
Okay. Well, you can definitely find us on Facebook. Sarah is our designer, also our GM, but she does a great job putting everything that we're doing and keeping all of our customers up to speed on Facebook. We do have a website. You can order things in Florida. We don't ship out of state yet. There's a lot of gray areas with that, so we're not doing that yet.
Yeah.
But it's at islandgrovewinecompany.com. Or you can always call the winery if you want to schedule a tour for, a group over 10 or so. You can call 352-481-WINE and schedule appointments. Right now we are open from 10 to 4, Monday through Friday. And once in a while we'll open for, a holiday on Saturday. And I don't know how long it's going to be there. We've been talking about, it's way out off the beaten path, and we don't get a lot of people out there on weekends. But as things pick up, there may be more weekends in my future. Either Facebook, the website, call the winery. You can always look us up on the internet and make yourself a map and just drive on out there during the week. Everybody's very, very nice out there. We've put some signs at every turn for people to try to help get them down that road.
And don't steal the signs when you leave.
Yeah, do not steal. I know they're attractive. Do not. That was
do
a good
not
one.
Steal the
that
signs.
That was a good one. No.
Because the next person coming in won't know whether to go to the right or left at the fork. Yeah, definitely. Well, Chase, I appreciate you taking the time to come on with us today or this evening. And we'll send people out there. If you all missed any of that information, we'll be posting it on to the allaboutwine.com website here. And so you'll be able to check it out. Or, again, Island Grove Wine Company. That's simple and easy.
Great. And, well, thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, you're really quite welcome. And hopefully, if you get a chance, stop by the winery. You and Sarah said you were going to. I haven't seen you yet. So
okay. We
come
definitely
down
will. Okie dokie. We'll
thanks
come
a lot,
try
Dave.
Some of the wines. Yes.
We'll look forward to it. And I'll be talking to you again, I'm sure.
Okay. All right,
buddy.
Thank you very much.
Right. You're welcome. Bye. Bye now. All right. And it's time to say goodbye also to AFRN. All the AFRN listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight with Chase Martin, the winemaker from Island Grove Wine Company in Florida. And if you have any questions, any comments or anything, you can always get a hold of us on the website or on our Facebook page, All About Wine BTR. So thank you, AFRN, for tuning in and for listening to our program. Those of you who are still with me now, Island Grove, great little find. I just had a new listener say that she just found the program and she's checking out Florida Wines. There's one for you to check out, Joy. This is Island Grove Wine Company, right smack dab in the middle of the state, and really sort of a treasure in the middle of everything. And while you're driving there, you can come on down and visit Florida State's Winery, too, all of you people out there. This weekend, Florida State's Winery is having a special event. We are doing sponsoring a Greyhound adoption and rescue event. So if you are out anywhere near us this Saturday, day after tomorrow, it's from 3 to 6. We are going to have, they are going to have door prizes. There's going to be wine tastings, all sorts of stuff going on. You can contact us at floridastateswines.com or you can give us a call. And we will tell you more about the event next week, another festival. And so that's coming up. And we have things coming up all throughout the year. If you would like to join us on Facebook at the winery, you can do that. And we keep that posted and keep you posted on that. Or if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter at the winery, go to the winery website, floridastateswines.com, and do your link to the newsletter and give us your information. We'll send it out to you. We don't flood you with all sorts of information. You are not going to get stuff from a Nigerian prince who needs help get money out of his country just from us. So keep that in mind. And thanks for tuning in this week. Mike will be back next week. I won't, like I said at the beginning of the program. I don't know if he's going to do a show or not. I've been trying to tell him he can do a show, but I don't know if he will or not. So we'll see. If he does, fantastic. If he doesn't, he may throw a best of on. And he was going to try to get to us tonight, but, you know, when you're on vacation, it's not always possible. I understand that. So thanks for trying anyway. I'm sure Mike did out there. Any questions, anything? Get in touch with us. The information will be at the end of the program here. So, excuse me. We want to thank one more time. We want to thank Chase Martin from Island Grove Wine Company for joining us tonight and for sharing the information that he has there. Interesting story, fun thing. They are popping up all over the place. You're just starting to see them like everywhere. And if you haven't had one, if you do see them out there, pick up a bottle, give it a try. You never know what you might find unless you taste it. And they also do tastings everywhere. So it's a great opportunity to try something new from Florida. Even if it's a fruit wine, don't turn your nose up at it. Florida does that, as does a lot of places around this country. And there are some phenomenal wines being made with fruits around this country. So, nothing else going on this weekend except for that event. Have yourself a safe and wonderful weekend. And a week ahead, we will look forward to seeing you, well, if not next Thursday, then in 2 weeks we will be back. I will be back for sure, and we'll see if we can't see what we can do about a guest. We haven't left or deserted Texas yet, so it's still possible that we're going to get some more Texas. I have been getting hold of them. I've got some other guests I've been trying to get hold of, too. People just, for some reason, I don't know, but if you know of anyone who'd like to be on the program, let me know. Oh, I also found out, too, I had some guests in at the winery the other day who are from Virginia, and they gave me a couple of leads on a couple of haunted wineries in Virginia. So we are not done with the haunted wineries yet, which is always fun to hear about those. We'll look forward to hearing from you if you have any questions or comments, and we will look forward to having you tune in on All About Wine next week or the week after. Have yourself a great weekend. Happy first day of spring again, and we'll look forward to future shows with you. Night.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.